Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jimmy Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. It's a Friday here. I'm in Southern California, and it's been a beautiful day. I mean, just picture perfect. It was fantastic. It seemed like it should be really hot, but there's been a nice sea breeze all day. And I've had a very productive day. Got some work knocked out. I even went out and mowed the back lawn today. So all is right with the world here. I'm very excited today because we have a filmmaker, a director, actor, and painter, and illustrator on that I'm just super impressed with. And, you know, he's cool, turned up to 10. Just very, very cool. And I'm very happy to have him on the show. I'd like to welcome Mr. Glenn Payne. Glenn, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Thanks for taking time to be on the show. I appreciate it. Glenn, you have a movie out called Driven. I watched this the other day, and I liked this film a lot. I liked it a lot. You know, I went into it expecting zombies and witches, and I got none of that. No, it was a very cool. It was almost like something you would expect, like Hitchcock or Orson Welles, somebody like that to do. Almost experimental in a way, but it is a comedy horror thriller film. I don't want to turn anybody off and thinking it's super highbrow and whatnot. It's just cool the way you did it. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's an interesting mix of genres, so it kind of dips its toes in a lot of different places for sure.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't want to give too much of I don't want to give anything away because there are some twists and turns and whatnot in it. But the general gist is there's like an Uber driver or taxi cab driver picks up a mysterious stranger, and stuff happens. But it takes place in the car almost. I mean, it isn't like a GoPro sitting on the dash of the car, like a found footage type deal, but there's different angles and whatnot. But it's just really cool how you have that set. It's almost theatrical, you know? I really dug how you did this.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. Yeah, I thought it would be interesting to do a movie that all takes place in and around one vehicle. And, you know, we're not the first people to do that. It wasn't something groundbreaking. But I thought it was really interesting because I used to travel, like you mentioned, artwork earlier. I used to travel the country selling paintings at art festivals, outdoor shows, and galleries and stuff like that. So,
that's fun stuff.
Like anyone who... Yeah, anyone who drives a lot, you have there's an intimacy with you and your vehicle just because you're in it so much, you know, kind of living out of your car. So anyway, I thought it'd be interesting to explore a story like that. And then my partner, as I like to call her, Casey Dillard, she came up with a really cool concept, like you were saying, with the rideshare element, which kind of binds the story to the car, and then kind of went with it from there.
Well, it was very, very cool. And, you know, your artwork is phenomenal, by the way, as well. I was just looking at our show page on my screen here, and we don't have a link to it, but we will. That will be resolved as soon as the episode is concluded for those who want to check out. He's got prints and stuff. He did a version of Rubens. I forget the title of it. Glenn... Christ,
it's Elevation of the Cross, I think, is the actual title of his.
Elevation of the Cross. I should know.
Yeah.
I had an art teacher in college that would knock me in the head for not knowing that. what a great – I mean, how – and ladies and gentlemen, just be patient with me for a second. For those who don't know, I'm a painter as well. Man, it's rare when I get to talk, you know, shop with someone.
Yeah.
We'll get to the movie in a second. I am just blown away that you would go there, man. That's a tough pain. I mean, did it take a long time to do that illustration of it and whatnot?
Yeah, it definitely did. Well, I started it right when the sort of, you know, self-isolation around the country was just kicking in, and I was planning to do a whole bunch of drawings. And for the viewers, you know, artwork is definitely film, and they relate and connect, and we use those lessons across the board. But, yeah, I worked on it here and there for several weeks. And, like, my body hates me, so the more I paint or draw, my back gets all twisted up. And,
right.
Embarrassing. But that's due to moderation. I worked on it here and there.
I hear you, man. Last year, I'm turning into an old man. I don't know how it happened. Time just seems to go by so quick. And I was really worried. I didn't say anything, especially on the air, until after this was resolved. But I thought something had happened to my arm, and I was like, and I got real worried because, you know, I mean, you know how that is. If mm-hmm. if that doesn't work, then man, you know, fundage stops. The whole train comes to a halt.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Got to keep this stuff going. So I was real worried, and I talked to some doctors and whatnot, and it turns out, here's my big adventure. They're like, yeah, you've developed tennis elbow, repetitive motion in the same spot, you know, you paint 8 hours a day. What do you expect would happen? You know? And I'm like, oh, and so they gave me some exercise and all this kind of stuff to do, and it's fine.
Wow. That's crazy.
You know, but, that wouldn't have happened 15 years ago. You know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
The machinery's wearing out.
Yeah, we're all falling apart.
Oh, man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
This is interesting. Were you doing art before you got into film, or both simultaneously? I mean, how did both of these paths come about?
I was, actually. So my background is in fine arts. I went to school for drawing, painting, et cetera, the whole gamut, you know. And then my last semester of school, I took an intro to film class. I've always loved movies, but I didn't think that was a real job you could have. You know, it seemed like if I had another life and I just happened to fall into it, kind of. And then I started to see that it was something you could actually do. And I did a little really bad little semi-silent short film for my final exam in this film history class. And then after that, I kind of got the bug. And then for the next several years, I just started making stuff with friends, with no money, with a little cheapo camera, you know, and just kind of like trying to grow on my own and listen to tons of DVD commentaries and take little random workshops here and there, and just try to get
nice.
So you get hooked, and then you can't stop doing it, even though it almost kills you every time.
See, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Glenn is in the middle, the epicenter of all things movies. He's right there in Hollywood. No, I'm kidding. Glenn, you're in Mississippi, right? If my notes are correct?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So you're doing this. You're taking this on in Tupelo, Mississippi, birthplace of Elvis, if memory serves right.
Right, exactly,
Well, you know, and he did okay, so I guess.
Not the worst starting point.
Full steam. but that's cool. There's a pretty good film community there in Mississippi that you can draw upon. And did you get a lot of actors and people around, you know, working on your projects and this and that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a really good indie community, and people, you know, they always kind of come and go, but there are a lot of, like I call them lifers, people that are just in it no matter what forever. And, you know, you get to know everybody. So there's tons of really super talented actors and every crew member, you know, across the board. Obviously, it's not a major city, so things are clearly very different. But you can do here that I think would be more problematic to do in a larger city, which is one of the reasons I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, people are excited about the concept of making movies around here. So, it's not as normal as in a bigger market. So you can people will help you out. You can get, I've had a whole mall before for free for a film, you know, so you can get a lot of things. People like to support you if you're nice to them too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You can keep
I was talking to a filmmaker. A couple months ago, maybe last year. I can't remember, but anyway, we were talking and he was talking about exactly what you're touching on there. He had filmed, I don't know where, West Virginia or someplace, and I said, well, that's got to be way different than filming in L.A. And he goes, yeah. He goes, let me tell you. He goes, the last time I filmed in L.A., there was a guy four houses down cutting the grass. And he goes, I swear he cut the same patch of grass for like 45 minutes, just back and forth, because he knew eventually I would get so mad that I would come down and just give him $50 to stop. He was trying
awful.
To please him.
Yeah.
He said, and that would,
horrible.
He goes, that kind of stuff doesn't happen in places that aren't used to film. You know, there aren't people trying to hoodwink you and whatnot. And,
Wow.
You know, and the interesting thing is we live in a time, and I know there's a ton of zany stuff that goes on, and I'm not making light of any of that, but I like to always focus on the positive, and we live in just a golden age of communication. You can be in Mississippi, you can be anywhere, and film and shoot off the finished products and whatnot to people in Hollywood or New York or Atlanta or wherever, you know, and it's just really cool.
Here you are, proof
of that. Where did you guys film Driven at? Was that filmed in Mississippi?
It was in Tupelo, we filmed all around. We had, which you've seen the film, but Richard Speight Jr., who is, a lot of people might know him from a show called Supernatural, but he's on a lot. He directs several episodes. He's an awesome guy. He he came and joined our little team, and we filmed in Tupelo, driving around all the streets and all these. We had like 25 locations because I told Casey up front, like I said, the writer and co-star, I was like, it'll be easy. It's just one location, you know. And then it was like 25 locations because that one car has to be somewhere new all the time. So we the town got really involved and helped out, and we got all these locations. It was great. It was awesome.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
That's so cool. That is so cool. You know, it's interesting that this comes around on the show. We're talking about Richard from Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I had an old collector. I hadn't heard from her in a long time. Let me put it this way. I had painted her son, when he was in Little League, and I think he's in college now. So it's been a while,
right?
You know?
Right.
She, I guess she's a Supernatural nut. Believe me, I'll be tagging her about your film.
Oh, cool.
As well, because she eats any of this up. Well, she said, you know, she had emailed me, and she goes, hey, I'm redoing the house, and I need a big picture of a big painting of the guys from Supernatural with me in the painting with them. And I said, not a problem. You know, I can paint anything as long as a check clears. You know,
yeah.
It's just kismet that here we are talking about that, you know, and one of the stars was in your film. That's cool.
I always love it when people ask me. I do a lot of commissions here and there too, you know, to pay the bills. And people will say, well, can you do this? I'm like, yeah, I can do it. But are you planning to pay me for it, or are you just wanting it done for free? Talk about this.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you that. I get a lot of people that will ask me for logos. They're like, hey, can you just do me up like 50 logos? And I'm like, it's not really what I do.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, but it'll, you know, I'll have to charge you $100 per logo, but I can do it.
Right.
And they don't call me back.
No,
but I have a sister-in-law who's a graphic artist.
Yeah.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Ahead.
Well, I send them to her now. So, you know,
I'm
the star mother-in-law.
That's right.
Exactly. I don't have time for that. No, you know, this is cool. So I wanted to ask you about the casting of this. Did you know all these folks? Or did you Casey's your partner there. Everybody else, did you go to an agency or agency in Tupelo, Mississippi?
Not in Tupelo, but in Mississippi. But, you know, you do it so long, you develop a lot of relationships. We did open casting calls for the parts. And most of the film,
nice.
As you know, is the two of them, Casey and Rich. But then we had a lot of fun little day player parts where they've come and pop in and have some stuff here and there. So I've known Casey for years. We're in two improv groups together. So we do improv comedy together.
Oh, nice.
And Richard, we met at a film festival in Oxford, Mississippi. He was there a couple years, and we kind of hung out here and there and kind of stayed in touch and tricked him into joining us for the movie. So, but the rest of the guys, we just did a casting call and filled in all the different spots, you know.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And it goes to show I went to my first film festival, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not in the movie business, but they hired me to do some work for them, and they were giving out these awards, and they wanted to give the people a painting as well. I was like, yeah, hey, that works for me. To me, what you do is super glamorous. You know, in my mind, I picture every indie film being like the back lot at Universal. You know, Glenn's riding around in a golf cart, and there's guys carrying big matte paintings around. And, you know, in my mind, it's probably not that at all. But
No, it's not.
Well, I went to this film festival, and I met all these people, and I was just starstruck. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. And so I tell everybody, I'm like, the two things you have to do, I don't care what business you're in, get some business cards printed up, spend the $30, and get to as many film festivals as you can and pass those out, because you're going to meet a ton of people. I was telling a musician friend of mine this. I'm like, I've never seen a movie without music, so, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
money to be
yeah.
made there.
For
get
sure, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
and network, and
like
you
to...
said, you know, you know these people, and you could call them on the phone, and they answer the phone. How cool is that? That's a good
yeah,
place to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always like to say that film or filmmaking is. I mean, I don't want to say the ultimate art form, because I do other forms of art as well, but it's like a combination of basically every art form together as a team, creating this one piece, this one collaborative piece, whether it's music or performance
right.
or dance or painting, you know, like with visuals and photography. So it's just across the board, you know, obviously. So it's really interesting, and it's a cool parallel to painting or drawing, because being a studio artist, meaning whether that's your kitchen or you have the space or whatever, you know, it's very easily, it's very solitary, and I'm not a solitary person. But like, I'm in my art studio right now, like by myself, as we talk, and so that can be very helpful to get away from people and kind of have some space to do a drawing or painting or sculpture or whatever. And then also with film, it's more collaborative, and there's people and it's all the socializing, and sometimes you want space and you cannot have it. So they're kind of cool. They
right.
kind of balance each other pretty well.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That is so cool, man. I don't know how you do it. I've learned so much since doing the show and talking to filmmakers and what have you, because I thought it was pretty quick. You know, I watched television show, and the very next week they had the new episode. You know, I'm like, oh, it takes them a week
yeah,
to knock
yeah.
this out. You know, I didn't realize it was filmed 3 years ago, and people have been tearing their hair out to get it sold and on
yeah.
the screen, you know. I thought it just happened. They just sent it off, and magically there it was. No,
right.
not at all. I don't even, I mean, what a, going to wake up one day and say, I'm going to make a feature film, that blows
oh,
me away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's
I don't know,
it's
man.
Quite the challenge.
That's a big
you
job.
Have to be ready for it. Yeah, for
oh,
sure.
Man.
And I always recommend people do a lot of short films prior and learn a lot of lessons and spend some tiny amounts of money on those first before you jump into the ocean, so to speak.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Oh, yeah. And especially if you're having investors or producers, as they could say in the film business. But it's, it's crazy. I don't know if you have a partner or not, Glenn, but man, selling them on that too. Hey, guess what I'm doing for the next year and a half, 2 years, you know? I don't know. My wife would be like, that's great, but you're also going to be doing this.
Yeah. It can make it challenging. Yeah.
Oh,
that can be tricky.
I'm telling you. I always know when she's annoyed. Okay, Picasso. Here you go. We need a new washing machine. No. Okay.
Oh, that's
hilarious. It's just part of it, man. Part of it. Hey, I wanted to ask, speaking of the female lead in the film, Casey, she plays the driver, Emerson. Now, in the film, and again, I don't want to give too much away, but I don't think this is a big spoiler. She has designs on stand-up comedy and whatnot, which is, I thought, brilliant, because then you can throw in some jokes and here and there. You know what I mean? Does she do that in real life as well? Is that something, because she was pretty good at it, you know? She was real good at it.
Oh, yeah. She actually does do stand-up, but the strange thing about this art form is that when she wrote that role, she intentionally tried to write jokes and things that would not be what she would do as her actual self, if that makes sense. I'm imagining that was a little strange for her to kind of come up with a material that wouldn't be what you would usually do in a routine. So, but she's so insanely talented that she can pull off just about anything. She'll be a superstar pretty soon, any day now.
You know what's interesting? The comedians I've met, because, of course, being a schmuck out here, I just thought, oh, you're a comedian. They're going to be funny constantly, you know? And that's usually not the case. They're funny. They can be hilarious when they're on, when they're working, you know what I mean? But if they're just hanging out having a beer, they're usually more quiet, a little more reserved, I've found. Is she like that, or is she very bombastic and everything?
Yeah, probably more like you're saying. I mean, maybe a little of each here and there, but yes, I would say she's a little more reserved at times. I think sometimes as a performer, and this can go for improv as well, which is different, but you're still on stage and all that. Sometimes you just kind of keep to yourself in the groups, and sometimes you can almost feel yourself turning on, so to speak. I don't know, maybe it's a good group of people and they like to laugh, so you suddenly kind of want to, you know, I don't know, not test out material, so to speak, but I don't know. It's making people laugh is a very great feeling, and sometimes you can't help it but give it a shot when you're in groups and just sort of riff back and forth. But, I think a lot, like you said, a lot do kind of stay reserved. It does make sense.
It was just interesting, something I noticed with people in that business and whatnot. I tell you, I've never had that I get the opposite. Like, if I finish doing a show or something like that, man, I come down hard, because I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I'm acting. I am not super artsy-fartsy, you know, and you know, like, when you do these shows and stuff, and we're talking art shows and everything, ladies and gentlemen, that's what they want. You know, they want the public, you know, at least the people who come to my shows, they expect that, you know, they want you to be all wild and, you know, just all artsy and, you know,
right.
And that's not me. I'm very analytical, very business oriented. Nobody wants that. That's like hanging out with your accountant. That's no fun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like I'm on at the show. And then when it's off, when I'm off, when I don't have to act like that, I'm like, oh, what a release. You know, I can get out of here and go hide under the covers now.
Well, it can be extremely draining too. Yeah. 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 After a show, there's a certain, I think it's got something to do with like being hyper-focused, maybe for me anyway. Just like you're trying to not miss a beat, and then whenever you can stop that, I think it's absorbed a certain amount of your energy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I had a friend of mine who got married, and that happened too. Man, she went into like a depression afterwards because not because she was married. She married a great guy, ladies and gentlemen. She she just didn't have – she wasn't focused anymore. She was so, like Glenn was saying, focused on – everything that getting married and the wedding encompassed, you know, from floor, you know, wedding stuff, that afterwards she was down, you know, she was like, what do I do now? You know, I need something to fill my days. So we all told her to have a baby and everything would be fine. No, I'm kidding.
There's something about having that, goal in mind, those steps you have to take, and then because it's not that different than it could be a lot of things, but even making a film, it's sort of pedal to the metal and you're going 90 miles an hour and then you're barely making it and you're getting everything done, but just by, you know, you're splitting hairs, and then suddenly it's over and you kind of have this weird, strange, you know, crash or come down of now what do I do? You know, it's over and I don't really know. It takes a little while to adjust back.
Right. Get your sea legs back there. You know, and it's I imagine. When you consider a project to completion, and your movie Driven, I want to let people know, comes out. It's not out yet, ladies and gentlemen. It comes out June 16th, and is that when it's complete? When it hits that date, where people are clicking on the TV or their phone or whatever and watching it. Or is it when you sign with the distribution and whatnot? Or then does all the marketing starts, I imagine, right?
Yeah. Do you mean like the actual completion of the movie itself?
In your mind, as a filmmaker, do you say, whew, when you take that breath, like, whew, I ran this race, you know, I'm at the finish line.
There's the initial one of when you finish filming, like literally filming, because like I said, a lot of film shoots, if you kind of go by union guidelines, whether you're union or not, it's like usually like 12-hour days, and it can be longer, but it definitely can be longer. If you're in an indie movie and it's not union, you usually just do what you have to do, so they can get, sometimes they might get crazy long. And then when you're done, there's this literally a physical and mental exhaustion where you have to just try to recover, but then the next phase starts with all the post-production, and then film festivals, if you're going to do that route, and like you said, the release with Driven, so it kind of has different waves, I guess. I suppose when, like, it's fully complete, it's more of a, I guess once it comes out and it's been out for X amount of months, probably, you can not move on, of course, but I don't know, maybe like reorganize some files in your brain that have been taking up space. For a while, I guess.
Right. I got
to sort through some things. Yeah.
I hear you. Hey, I wanted to ask you, while I've got you on, I know we're up against the time, but I just real quick, I really, really enjoyed this film. Is it future projects that you can talk about? Are the gears turning yet for those?
Yeah, we've got one thing in particular that we've been working on for several years. We just released our fourth episode. It's a ghost hunting mockumentary, and we like to compare it to we say it's Reno 911 meets Ghost Hunters. That's kind of always been our pitch.
That's awesome.
And it's on Amazon Prime now. It's called Stag Rassle Paranormal, which is Stagrassle. It's hard to say. If someone ever picks up the show, they're definitely going to make us change the title. We joke about that all the time. But Stag Rassle is our that's been our baby for several years. So it's definitely a comedy. It's a southern group of these misfit ghost hunters who are not great at their job, but they're really – zany characters in this town. So they can check that out, and like I said, Driven is
definitely
comedy as well. So what was that?
I'm definitely going to. It's so funny because my wife likes to watch those paranormal the ghost shows, you know, and she's into it. I'm probably much more of a skeptic when it comes to that kind of stuff, but nonetheless. You know, I don't do it anymore. I'm learning, you know, I got married and then I started learning all this stuff. Like, don't make fun of her shows when she's watching them. Even if they're ridiculous.
That's a good,
you know, just keep my mouth
shut. That's probably a good rule of thumb.
See, I'm learning. Yeah. And, but it's funny that you made this because I'm telling you, I watch those shows and I'm just like, oh, really? You know, of course there's electrical interference. You're standing under the light. You know, I'm always pointing this stuff out. In my mind, at least. And now I love it. We're going to be, because we're always looking, especially these days, you know, man, we've watched a lot of stuff on the streaming platforms.
Yeah.
So we're looking for new stuff to get into.
Yeah, we'll check it out. I'm sure. Maybe it can be you guys meeting in the middle a little bit on something that may hopefully you both like. So that would be cool. That'd be very cool.
Absolutely. That's cool, man. That is cool. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll put a link up to it. I'll find the link to it too, and I'll be posting that on my social media and blog and all of that as well. So you guys out there can check it out. You know, also very, very cool. Now, do people need to be pre-ordering Driven, or are we just chomping at the bit to see?
I believe it's available. I don't know if it's okay to mention specific platforms or not, but they can pre-order it on.
Absolutely.
Okay. On iTunes, I think that just became live, so they can pre-order now on iTunes. And then it's also going to hit most of your normal VOD platforms like your Amazon, et cetera. And still waiting to hear back from some others. And there will be. My understanding is a DVD, so anybody that happens to be all about behind the scenes stuff, which I always have been, like I was saying, from my kind of learning filmmaking on my own, there will be commentaries with Casey, Rich, and I, and lots of other fun deleted stuff and outtakes and those kind of things.
Nice. I love watching that stuff. That's very cool. Very, very cool. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you get the DVD, and I suggest you do, well, you can track, you know, follow Glenn on social media and whatnot. Glenn Payne, we've got links up to everything. And then what you can do is, you know, stalk him, find him at a horror movie convention, go up to him, get him to sign that DVD. And if you ever fall on hard times, well, you can call the Antiques Roadshow. Well, no, they don't really do that. You can go to Pawn Stars in Las Vegas and sell it for $1 million. Signed by Glenn Payne, and everything will be right in the way.
Well,
you pay your mortgage, and everything will be good.
If that works, I'm just going to sign a whole bunch myself and take them to the pawn shop. We'll just skip the middle.
Put on a mustache, and there you go.
Whatever.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, very cool, man. Well, Glenn, man, you made a movie. How cool. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And it's a good movie, too. I love it.
Yeah, well, thank you.
So, very, very cool. Yeah, man, yeah. And I am, and also, like we said, folks, we're going to have, Glenn, you normally, for your artwork, it's the Facebook page, Glenn Payne Artwork, or is there also a website that you'd like people to check out?
Yeah, Facebook, my actual website's sort of under reconstruction at the moment. It is just glennpayne.com, but it is down at the moment. But, yeah, on Facebook. Sure. As a way at the moment to reach me directly.
Yeah, very cool. Well, we'll put a link up and everything to that as well. And it's really neat, ladies and gentlemen. He is a fantastic illustrator. I'm telling you, the man knows what he's doing, and he's got videos too. So I know people like watching that because it's neat, you know. It's like going to a restaurant and seeing the guys throw pizza up in the air, you know, the dough up in the air.
I
tastes
that
better
too.
When you see that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Glenn, a man of many talents.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, man. We'll see. Very good. Hey, and it's really cool, too, that Driven's going to be out with by, we should mention, Uncorked Entertainment. I like those guys over there, man. They know what they're doing. I see that Uncorked logo all over the place when I'm flipping. And I'm becoming an expert on watching independent film now just from the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
We watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're excited. Uncorked
comes up a lot. Uncorked,
yeah. We're excited to be with them.
That's cool, man. That is cool. Well, Glenn, I know I kept you a little longer. I apologize about that. You've got lots going on, and but I want to thank you for taking time to be on the show and whatnot. You know, you're just very, very cool, very inspiring.
Oh, thank you very much, and this has been a really unique and enjoyable interview, so thank you for having me.
Cool. Thank you so much. Hey, folks, that's going to we're right up against the time, so that's going to do it for us today. I am off for the big holiday weekend. How about that? We're going to be I'm not doing nothing, man. A bunch of stuff around the house. I got to hang some curtains. You know, that's my big exciting Memorial Day. I hope everybody has a great one, but you're probably not doing much, I imagine, either. But give a thought for people who served and passed on. You know, it's the weekend to do that, not just about hamburgers and hot dogs. But we will be back on Tuesday. We've got another filmmaker on Tuesday. Very interesting film. I watched this one the other day, too. This is called A Clear Shot. It's got Mario Peoples in it. And this is based on, I don't know if you remember, there was I think it was like Circuit City or something. I can't remember, but there was a big robbery. It was one of the biggest hostage situations happening in California in history, like back in the early 90s. And anyway, our guest had made a film about this. So that's going to be a cool one to talk about that if, you know, action movies are your thing. Cool. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you next time. And, you know, be safe. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.